You're listening to Latin Waves with your hosts, Sylvia and Stuart Richardson. Latin Waves is a syndicated show produced in the studios of CJSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. Latin Waves is more than just hot rhythms. This is a show about community, about creating a culture that is inclusive and based on fairness. Because everyone deserves dignity, respect, and has something to contribute. A new world is possible, and it all starts with us.
On this week's edition of Latin Waves, we speak to Michael McCarty Flynn, who's a Living Wage campaign organizer. Michael speaks about how New Westminster, BC may become Canada's first Living Wage City Hall, and how this campaigning can spread to both large and small employers, including university campuses. On the second part of the show, we speak to author and activist Eve Zingler about the current situation in Haiti, getting some historical geopolitical perspectives as to why Haiti has been so vulnerable following the quake. So stay tuned.
Dame tu querer, dame tu querer en mi vida, dame de beber de tu claridad y tu alegría, que me ayudará a calmar mi sed, amor. Dame el corazón entero, dame tu mirar. Sin tu amor siento que muero y el sol ya nunca volverá a alumbrar. Dame tu cariño, que tu luz es mi única verdad, amor. Dame tu querer, princesa, dame de beber de tu piel salada y tu belleza, de la oscuridad secreta de tu piel. Déjame caer al abismo del deseo, quiero conocer dónde está la luz de tu misterio, quedar ciego con tu claridad, mujer. Dame tu cariño, que tu luz es mi única verdad.
Even in the best of economic times, millions of Canadians live paycheck to paycheck, living in poverty despite working very hard. Online to speak about this, I have Michael McCarty Flynn, a Living Wage campaign organizer for the Living Wage for Families campaign, which is guided by an advisory committee of representatives from community organizations and other partners and supporters in Metro Vancouver. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Oh, good morning, Stuart.
Now, great to have you. First and foremost, just help me out here. How is a living wage calculated? I mean, it would be quite different in, say, Kamloops to Vancouver.
Yeah, well, a living wage is basically a wage that ensures that a family can pay for its basic needs. How it's calculated, well, how we've calculated it is we got together a number of researchers, social policy activists, community groups, and we also workshopped with low-wage workers and with some businesses as well. And we looked at a number of expenses that would be related to a living wage, including housing, clothing and footwear, shelter, childcare, transportation. And we used figures, not our own figures, based on Stats Canada, on the Dietitians of Canada, on the Canadian mortgage housing figures. And we came up with a methodology based on a family with two children. The reason why we picked that family was because it's the most common family unit within Canada. 85% of families have two parents as the head, and 62% have more than two children. So we looked at what their living expenses based on 10 expenses headings. We looked at what their taxes they would have to pay and what benefits they would get from government. And then we calculated an hourly figure based on both parents working. So the hourly figure we came up with was $16.74 an hour. At first look, that sounds quite high, especially compared to our minimum wage. But you have to remember that our minimum wage won't bring people above the poverty line. Even if we increase it to $10 an hour, it still wouldn't bring people above the poverty line. And the interesting thing, when we presented this and our methodology in more detail, going through exactly where we got the figures for each expense and what it covers, most people wouldn't disagree with our methodology, including any businesses that we've actually presented to.
Let's say an employer agrees to a living wage. Would it be indexed with inflation?
Yeah, the living wage is based on two things. It's based on a yearly analysis of living expenses, and it's based on living expenses within a specific geographical location. So if an employer agreed to sign up to it, we are at present calculating actually a new living wage figure, because the new data that we've based our figure on is actually out of date, and we've only got the new data in the last month or two. So we're hoping to update that figure probably by March. We'll be publicizing that. So yes, it would be indexed to not just expenses change, but the tax regime changes. So it's actually a lens through which to see public policy, because if public policy, say, was more friendly towards providing a more publicly funded childcare system or a more publicly funded housing system, then the living wage would actually go down rather than go up.
Yeah, the cost of living in Vancouver is tremendous. And Vancouver is a very strange place, or all of Metro Vancouver. You have very, very wealthy people, and then you have massive poverty. Do you have any stats on the child poverty rate? We keep saying it's the highest here.
The interesting thing with BC is we have the highest child poverty rate for the last 6 years. And I think the actual percentage of children living in poverty in BC at the moment is 13%. The other interesting statistic where got us thinking about the living wage is 55% of children living in poverty have at least one parent working full time. So poverty in BC and child poverty in BC is primarily a low wage issue. So the idea that the best way to get people out of poverty is to get them employment works for a lot of people, but it doesn't work for people working in low wage jobs. So that's why we're advocating for a living wage.
I would love to just wave a wand and have everybody earning a livable wage, but you have to realize you're in British Columbia, where we have a training wage, we have the lowest minimum wage. You're in a very hostile environment. So how would you start getting something like this implemented?
Well, we would start by trying to look at the values behind it and look at also the business case. The interesting thing about the living wage is this isn't a new concept. This has been implemented in a number of jurisdictions around the world, in about 140 cities in America, in the United States, including cities as large as New York and Los Angeles. And most interestingly, in London in the UK, which is the heart of financial capitalism. And they've actually bought into this idea of living wage being a positive thing, not only as a branding exercise, but also as an economic exercise. If I could quote from the current Lord Mayor of London, Boris Johnson, who's a conservative, it's actually become a nonpartisan issue there, so much so that the 2012 Olympics is going to be a living wage Olympics. The Mayor of London says paying the living wage is not only morally right, but makes good business sense too. What may appear to a company to be an unaffordable cost in a highly competitive market should more often be viewed as a sound investment decision. I believe that paying a decent wage reduces staff turnover and produces a more motivated and productive workforce. So the way we're looking at trying to get it implemented is maybe on two levels, to try and get as many people in the community and as many workers and unions aware of this concept, but also working with businesses and employers to persuade them to become living wage employers based on examples and what has happened in other places around the world.
Would it be a business-by-business voluntary approach, or would it be, say, regulated through a city? I've heard in California certain cities have regulations around wages.
Well, it's a two-way approach, actually. And both are voluntary, because obviously a city council, it's up to them to decide what they want to do. But we would be asking city council to pass bylaws that would mean not only all their core staff, and most of their core staff would already be above a living wage figure, but most importantly, all their contracted staff, so this would be their cleaners, their janitors, their security staff, would be paid a living wage. So that's one way. And the other way is voluntarily with businesses, primarily big private sector businesses, because often one of the things that is thrown against us is, well, small businesses can't afford this. And I would generally agree, often small businesses don't pay themselves a living wage. But we would be looking at large private employers who can afford to pay a living wage, who have large profits. And again, these guys, probably most of their core staff would be above a living wage, but their contracted out staff wouldn't be. Their food staff, their security staff, their janitorial staff wouldn't be above it. So it would be both approaches.
Okay, now I get to put my devil's advocate hat on. If I floated this idea at, say, the BC Business Board or Fraser Institute, they would say, you know, if you start to try to regulate wages, you just create layoffs and a worse business climate, which actually hurts workers. You just cut taxes and get out of the way, and the market will create prosperity and jobs. How would you respond to that?
Well, the interesting thing about that argument is it's based on the premise that we don't interfere with the market at the moment. And there's a number of regulations, and the market is a regulated place. So the idea that we shouldn't and don't get involved with the market is a fallacy, actually, to start with. In terms of the idea that it actually will cost us economically, is also based on a fallacy. Interestingly enough, Goldman Sachs brought out a report last year which showed that paying people on low income a higher wage rather than people increasing profits actually has a more stimulus effect on the economy, because people on low wages have basic expenses that they have to meet that their low wages doesn't allow. So if their wages increases, they spend that on locally, usually, which helps the local economy. Whereas people on high wages or on increased profits, that doesn't necessarily go into the local economy. That is often taken out in terms of savings, in terms of investments, not necessarily in the local economy. So I'm not sure those arguments it make economic sense. And also, if we look at the empirical evidence, places which have passed living wages or even places which have increased the minimum wage, the sky hasn't fallen. Business has gone off, and in some places business has improved because of it.
Okay, let's come back to that. You say this is happening in certain places. Can you give us some positive examples of where this has worked out really successfully?
Well, I'll give you one example. Like in London, when the campaign started there, they looked at big financial institutions, because they're one of the biggest employers in London, and a lot of the economy in London is around financial institutions. They approached them in terms of becoming living wage employers. Primarily, again, their staff is well over a living wage, but their contracted staff is below it. And at one of the major banks, I think it was HSBC, at their shareholder meeting, they actually got a janitor to buy some shares And the shareholder meeting was congratulating themselves about how wonderful, how much profits they were making. And the janitor stood up and spoke about, well, his life, that that's great, you're making loads of profits, but I don't have enough to feed my children. I get to work two jobs. I don't see my children. I'm worrying about their upbringing. And it started, you know, a dialogue within them, and eventually they agreed to become a living wage. And that sort of had a ripple effect within the financial community and a number of financial institutions, including KPMG, which is a management consultancy which works all over the world. And what they said was they have 700 in-house and outsourced staff in the UK offices, many who are directly servicing clients. And what they found out when they implemented a living wage policy was turnover among their cleaning staff more than halved, morale had been raised, despite improved sick pay potential, abuse was not materialised, productivity had improved, attitudes are more flexible and positive, and service has improved, our help desk gets fewer complaints.
Now, how's it doing here in Metro Vancouver? There's some organisations working on this with you. What kind of reception are you getting from businesses?
Mostly positive. Our approach at the moment is we're trying to get this message out to as many different forums as possible. And the businesses that we've met up with so far are quite receptive to it, are quite interested in the idea. Where they're struggling sometimes is their both their ability to pay and also what it would involve for them if they took this on in terms of changing their policies and of actually implementing this, especially with their contracted staff, because, as you know, contracting now is a quite complex business. So we have a number of businesses who are interested. We have actually a few groups actually signed up at the moment. There's one or two large businesses that we're hoping will sign up, and then we're going to launch it publicly and have them speak on behalf of the project to explain why they've signed up and hopefully to persuade their business colleagues.
Yeah, it's a good idea to have spokespeople from the business community. Now, if a business owner is listening and they're interested, do you folks kind of walk them through how to implement it?
Yeah, we can send them out literature. We have a web page which is www.livingwageforfamilies.ca, which has all the information about what is involved. Does it cover this? Does it cover that? What happens if I have student interns? All that type of business. And if they're interested, they can talk to us. We will walk them through what's involved. We have example of living wage policies. We have a simple application form. Yeah, we can deal with any of their concerns from there about what's involved. Also, what we're trying to do, because we know a lot of businesses, especially small businesses, might be behind this idea, but because of their margins, mightn't actually be able to pay it. And we will be interested in getting in a dialogue with them about, well, what type of things could you do to bring your employees closer to a living wage in terms of maybe lowering the threshold of your benefits, giving some money towards transport costs, or getting involved, say, in a campaign to get more public subsidies towards childcare. Because this is the interesting thing about the living wage calculation is that it actually shows what the expenses somebody has to pay to live in Vancouver. And as I said, most employers seem to be supportive of, well, this is what it costs to live, but aren't always able to pay. So we are challenging them to say, well, will you support an increase in public support to these areas, which would actually reduce the amount of living wage would be and make it easier for you to sign up to this.
It's very interesting. I was just thinking as you were speaking, not only is it morally better and is it better for the community with more money circulating, but I'll give you a personal example. My last employer, they started getting rid of the higher paid staff, and you know what happened? They got more unreliable staff who would quit on give no notice and weren't as loyal. So I wonder if there's ever been a comparison as to the savings in training costs and that sort of thing if you pay a better wage.
Well, what we do is we ask businesses to do that analysis themselves. We don't ask people to sign up on a whim because there is some policy changes that are involved and there is a serious commitment that we ask them, like with the city councils, but also with the businesses. We ask them, go away, get your financial people involved, do a cost-benefit analysis, and you'll be surprised with what comes up, and then come back to us and we'll talk about what's involved. So with the large businesses that we're talking to, they've said it'll take maybe a six-month period for them to go through all the number crunching, to iron out details with their various departments. for this, whether it's going to be realistic or not. So that's what we would ask them to do, to actually look at this and to look at the literature online and the studies, and we have a number of them online that actually shows that it does increase productivity and all those things. The other interesting thing is they will be certified as a living wage employer. We have a living wage logo, and what we're hoping that this will affect consumers in the decisions that they make, a bit like the way organic fair trademarks now are big incentives for consumers the way they shop, that a living wage label will be an incentive for consumers. So that's the other argument we will be using with businesses, is that hopefully as this gets legs, the consumers will start making decisions about where to shop if they see the living wage symbol, and if you have that, it will be a competitive advantage. The other interesting thing is, if we get a number of city councils signed up to this and a number of large employers, and their policy is we will only accept contracted work from living wage employers, it actually becomes a competitive advantage then to be a living wage employer to get these large contracts.
It could really be a huge PR campaign.
Yeah, and like, this is the first time that anybody in Metro Vancouver and in the wider BC has come up with a very well detailed scientific certification process. I work just off Commercial Avenue, and there is a number of businesses that are saying they're worker operated and that they pay fair wages, but there's no way a consumer can see whether that's certified, whether they're just making that up or whether that's true, but now they can.
Fantastic. Now, you have an event coming up. Tell us about that.
Yeah. New Westminster City Council is currently looking at passing a living wage bylaw. And as I said, this hopefully won't just include core staff, but more importantly, staff that are contracted out. And if they do pass it, it'll be not only the first city council in Metro Vancouver, BC, but actually the first one in Canada to pass such a bylaw. So it would be an important first step in our campaign. We're going to have some testimonials from local businesses in New Westminster who are supportive of this. And most importantly, we're going to have some testimonials from low-wage workers in New Westminster explaining what a difference this would make to their lives. So what we're hoping is we'll have a big crowd there, we'll have a good debate, and we'll get to talk about the issues in an informed way.
Well, thanks again, Michael. This is Michael McCarty Flynn for Living Wage Campaign. Thanks again for doing this.
Can I just say one thing, Stuart?
Absolutely.
The other area where this could be of relevance, and we're hoping to look into this in the next few months, is in student campuses. A number of colleges in America have, through a lot of student pressure and through students working with workers there, have instigated living wage policies within their campuses. So if there's any of your listeners interested in getting involved in that, I would be very interested to hear about them. There's numbers of positive examples. For example, Harvard eventually turned over and started paying their service staff living wages. So that would be another opportunity for us.
And if people need more information, the website is
www.livingwageforfamilies.ca.
Okay, I thank you once again for doing this work and spending a few moments with us this morning.
No problem. Thank you, Stuart. Bye.
Cheers,
now.
Yeah.
África, Brasil, diretamente do mundo frio, Canadá, é nóis que tá. Nomadic Máximo, Universal Home, do Haiti ao Canadá, do Brasil ao Iraque, vai segurando.
You wanna stay, yo, burn them cause them a burn you too. Ay, run them cause them a try fi run you, try and turn you fool on. Leave you fi dead when they fill up you head with them dibby dibby talk and them dibby dibby walk. Watch how you go on, you don't know where you did. Them sin kneel down and pray while them stand up and take for your food, for your spirit, pan your back house and make keep your cool, make them feel it, yo. Cheap for them tool and build back for your quarter. Eat for them food, stay on track, drink your water. It don't make no sense, you running after one man's dream is the next man's disaster. Dash way in my hands, if I can't, if you fun, you live strong and got long about your business. Seamless, no move, no groove, tune your guy and live by your own shine. And not know, give me line, fit they give your mind, pan them, giddy grind. Why you losing time? And feel your pity losing fit, me in case I make harder. They moving circles, we moving forward.
We have his head on,
so we can sit on the eyes,
time dripping like
cold. So we get your nice like a ball.
All them wicked job
balls. Yeah, bad man, fall.
It's not bad man, you should fall.
No way, no way.
We moving forward,
just like a bird.
We crashing them balls,
like the first
ball. Lift your spirit and
fall. So we can all shine.
Original man, Pamela qui est fat man, qui m'intime pas la donne. Nomadique c'est celle bonne, pas de jump, bonne à la prenne. Celle laisse je copie man, sort de là ou n'en cas. Combien de fois notre rack a des espoirs. Sans blague on follow la mérite, on courait qu'un promesse qu'un. Polémique, polémique, comment qu'un. Crée ton proche chemin, décoller n'en plein. Des fans de croise aux anticorps ou mon cher ou trop malin. Nomadique ça fait le cas, on voyage en bus de bus. Customs off, forget the best of us, forget the bus, bus it. On avance sous les sangs, boulet dans la foule et laisse la vibe. Et oublie ceux qui jouent les fous, la laisse-le. Poison-les sous les roues, les surlors, c'est pas l'objectif. Casse la boîte, sort dehors, hors subjectif. Live sélectif, connect the right projects. Got a flea market full of it. Lift every rock, toute une vérité à soulever. Recto sin escala, que nos para, palante sin pena. Sin edición, crudo, no tengas miedo, prueba. Levanta el orgullo, do you, sois toi-même. Être humain libre, je vais où le vent m'amène.
Et je fonctionne,
cela me fonctionne.
Bust the move and it's work, serve words with nerve.
There's no way that the crowd can see.
We out here stand tall,
so we can see through the noise.
I'm gripping like gold,
so we can unite like a pole.
All them wicked down fall. It's not that man you should call.
No way, no way.
We moving forward,
just like a bird.
We crashing them walls,
like the world.
Lift your spirit and soul,
so we can all shine.
Cause we share the same blood.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Africa pra trabalhar essa lama lá. Basta acreditar que você pode chegar lá. Atravessando geleiras, vencendo os desertos, quebrando barreiras, transcendendo os dialetos. Já blessing, relaxa aliciai, a jazambiorai. Rastaforai, ensinamento haitiano. Eu canto pra atuar, oxalá, vou lá. Porque eu bata lá, mistura bata cubano com chuva de Trinidad. É nós que dá, o povo daqui, o povo que vem de lá. Zafricano, guerreiro soldier, pra hoje um Braemanjá, no toque.
We use the present day moment to recreate the past. All facts, we autograph that on wax and speed the brass. This load of cash, now why try like wireless Wi-Fi? We connect back to back just like Echo. Pro bono de aquí hasta el sol del Rio. Nous campé con les sous-eaux, tant qu'on presse grillon. Simon retracé, vérité, nous quelle nation. Tout moi change, démasqué, un marché, vous ne rivez.
We have his head on.
So we can see through the noise.
I'm dripping like gold.
So we can unite like a pole.
All them wicked down fall. It's not that man you should call.
No way, no way.
We moving forward,
just like a bird.
We crashing and walls,
like the world.
Whoa. Lift your spirit and jaw,
so we can all shine.
Cause we share the same blood.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
You are listening to Latin Waves, a weekly syndicated program. For more information about our program, visit www.latinwavesmedia.com.